This is The Annex, a sociology podcast. I'm Joseph Cohen from the City University of New York. Today, slow peer review. Panelists include Michelle Silver from the University of Toronto and Gabriel Rossman from UCLA. Our interview was recorded on May 1st, 2019. Over the weekend, there was a great discussion on Twitter that was set off by Elise Paradis, I think her name is, from the University of Toronto. Elise works at the intersection of health and sociology, and she made an interesting comparison about reviewer turnaround times in her two fields. So apparently, the average health professions education journal, MedEd, takes about 21 days for reviewers to turn around a submission. In contrast, sociology, she says, takes 16 weeks. And Elise makes a great point. Like, these slow turnaround times are a killer for junior faculty, right? Because that's an average. That's 3-4 months on average. So like a young person who feels time pressure to publish is going to submit a journal and wait like 6 months before they hear anything. So my question, like, what's going on with this? Is this true that there's such a big difference? Why does it take so long? And should we be doing anything about it?
I think it very much depends on the editor. And I my experience has been that, I've had things that took 9 months just to get a reject. I've had an article that was accepted right away, and then it took 3 years to actually see the right light of day. And I have experiences like, as a reviewer in the health sciences, doing reviewing that's not blinded, right? Like, so there are journals there where, and I think that matters too. So, we all know like the horror stories of how long it takes. And in the sciences, like it really can matter in terms of like getting the research out there. If it's not recent, then it doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
So it's an important issue.
So a couple friends of the show, Richard Carpiano from Riverside and Philip Cohen from Maryland, argued that not all journals have slow turnaround times. Like the Journal of Health and Social Behavior apparently turns around in a few weeks. And Socius, and here I want to interject the opinion that like Socius and sociological science are putting out great articles despite their fast turnaround times. So, maybe it's just an organizational thing. And then Elise and Anthony Artino from the Uniform University of Health Sciences, like they talked about how peer review isn't valued in this business, right? Like in other disciplines, sometimes people pay reviewers. Or, is there some way we can achieve peer recognition for good reviewing? I guess you get that with an editorship or something like that. But and then the other one, I had a cranky one.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of what's submitted, and this is totally colored by like two articles, that I'm reviewing now that have made me mad. A lot of articles are 40 pages that should really be 20 pages. Because like I sometimes run into an article that's 15 pages of like lightly considered lit review that isn't even that original. And I'm trying to be like constructive and whatever, but like if I could just be like, I hated this and not explain why, I could probably turn this thing out much faster and then just talk about the empirics. I think that the front matter slows down everything, slows down the writing process, slows down the research process. And like most writers, what they bring to the table are empirics. So if we had short papers that were just focused on empirics, I bet you that would speed things up.
I think that it's just sort of part of the acculturation process to academia. it's really anachronistic because the thing is that now like our students have short attention spans. Everything is about like quick. And then we have, this experience of, the only virtue of it is that it's like teaching us to be patient, which is very good and applicable to lots of different realms of life. But it's just so ironic, right? Like especially when things are online, like there isn't a limited amount of space. I hear what you're saying in terms of like maybe the quality of writing suffers when things go on too long, but that's sort of a different issue. The bottom line is like there is space. And in terms of time, like lots of demand for things to be quick. So it's very frustrating when the process is so slow.
You think that the expectations of a fast turnaround time are maybe unrealistic or?
Well, I mean, as a reviewer, you know, it's sort of, it's, you know, it's hard. You're on like all different ends of it. And you're, you know, when a journal, you know, like wants something so quickly, it does start to feel like a little bit unrealistic to get back. But when you're the one reviewing, but then when you're on the other end, it seems like, yeah, this took a year just to collect the data. And I want this to see the light of day soon, mm-hmm. you know, but you know, I mean, the process is just one of like patience and rejection and rinse and repeat. And I think that there are some good things to that. I think having a, you know, a dose of rejection is not so bad. I think, you know, the more that we experience failure, I think there's a lot to be gained from that. And for me, I can't help but think about the review process and associate it with rejection.
Well, it's what it's that's what's mostly involved in it, right? You rejecting, you getting rejected. But Gabe, you want to set us straight?
Well, so, I mean, I favor faster review, which is why I've been on the board of sociological science for a few years. And you know, there's trade-offs to it, both for the editorial team and for the authors. So from the editorial side, it's a lot of work. You know, we expect a lot from our board and we expect a lot from our reviewers. So the norm in sociology for most journals is that the reviewer has a month to turn around the article before they start getting the nagging emails. Mm-hmm. And in sociological science, we give you 7 to 10 days. Mm-hmm. And we have to turn around the article overall in 30 days. And that's a lot of work. Like, you know, there's a lot of times where I just feel overwhelmed with peer review, or I have something else going on, or I'm traveling or something like that, or I just missed the email assigning me an article. Because our system is basically, Jesper gets the article, Jesper delegates it to a board member. Mm. The board member skims it and assigns it to a contributing editor, which is basically our reviewer pool. Mm-hmm. And then that contributing editor has around a week, maybe a little bit longer, to get the review back to us. And then the deputy editor, which is me and, you know, 7 other people, reads it carefully, writes a review, and then Jesper reads it and writes a review. Mm-hmm. So that's our process. And it's really tight. And if you don't hear back from a contributing editor, like you send them the review request and then they don't answer you for a week, then you have to go to another contributing editor. It's like you just have this sense of impending doom, like clock's ticking, you know? And so it's really hard to turn around things in 30 days for the editorial team. And I would include both the, you know, the assistant editors like me and Jesper, and also the contributing editors, right? It's tough to be told you only have 7 to 10 days to turn around an article. And then on the author side, like there's a certain amount of discontent about our model from authors. Like if you search, I'm not a regular on SJMR, but I occasionally lurk there. Mm-hmm. And when social science comes up, what you always hear is, I sent there and I don't think they even read my paper. Mm-hmm. You know, and then, you know, similarly on Twitter a little bit ago, I saw some economists saying that if you get desk rejected, or even if you get rejected, I think he was saying if you get desk rejected, you should, the journal should have to refund your submission fee. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, the editor still had to skim your paper. Mm-hmm. They still had to enter it into the content system. Mm-hmm. You know, they basically incurred all the overhead that they do from a full review. The only thing that they didn't do is bother the reviewers with it. But the reviewers aren't getting paid anyway. It's not like they take the $40 submission fee, $10 goes to the editor, and $10 goes to reviewer one, $10 to reviewer two, $10 to reviewer three. And by the way, if they did, it would obviously not be worth it. Right?
Yeah.
Because unless you can review an article
in like 15 minutes.
In like 15 minutes, it's not worth your time. Yeah. So I think anybody who thinks about it seriously has to realize that just covers the overhead. It's like people want things. It's like the saying about everybody wants to go to heaven, but they don't want to die. It's like people want faster review, but then when you actually give them faster review, they bitch about everything that's involved. You know, because faster review necessarily involves fewer reviewers. Mm-hmm. It involves more desk rejects. Mm-hmm. It involves more terse review or comments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people have this attitude of everything that they submit should go out for review, and they should get pages and pages and pages of feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And my attitude is, if you want pages of feedback, make friends and ask them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not what review is for. Review is for deciding whether the paper is worth publishing, or if it's the standard developmental review process, figuring out if it's close enough that it could be fixed, and if so, how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of feel like if a paper is obviously not publishable in anything close to its current state, nobody owes you any comments on it at all. But that is not how people feel in sociology. They're completely used to the idea that they're entitled to robust feedback. Uh-huh. And it's like, don't you have colleagues? You know, and if you don't, I feel bad for you, but it's not my fault as a peer reviewer, and it's not my responsibility. And then this is a different issue, but related to that, people bitch about paywalls.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, you know, how come it's paywalled and Elsevier and things like that? But it's like, okay, well, then we'll have author fees.
Mm-hmm.
And then they complain about that. And, you know, because these are sociologists, we're not like, a sociologist can't complain about traffic mm-hmm. or the weather without blaming it on inequality. And so, you know, if they put too much salt in your soup at the restaurant, it's because of inequality. Mm. And in the same kind of way, people will frame any objections they have to newer, faster reviewing models as, you know, oh, it's just elitist. They just publish their friends. It's a rich kids club.
Mm-hmm.
The author fees are just for people with like these, like, you know, fat research accounts, et cetera, et cetera.
What, $40?
Basically all journals charge around $40. I'm talking about when you actually publish a paper in socius or sociological science, you have to pay around $500 for the author's fees, which I can tell you barely cover the expenses. And that's only because the run is a tight wad. If
that's expensive, though.
It's expensive, but it's like, I mean, realistically, a line in your CV is worth a lot more than that. And if you don't think your article is worth $500 to your career, then that implies that you have very little faith in your own scholarship. I mean, I can see a liquidity concern.
Yeah.
But if you imagine no liquidity concerns, it's fucking ridiculous to say that it's not worth $500 to get an article out there.
There are liquidity. Like, there are people who can't afford to go to conferences because they can't, you know.
Yeah. I sympathize with that, the liquidity concern.
But if you have a tenure track or a tenured position, yes, you're right. You should be able to pay.
Yeah. And even if you're a grad student, it's worth it, but there could fairly be liquidity concerns.
Oh, geez. It's so hard to come up with $500 when you're a grad student. But
no, that's true.
It is just on principle odd, though, this whole idea of like paying and who pays, right? Like, you heard about University of California obviously boycotting Elsevier, and it's like, it's so strange, right? Like, they account for like 10% of all of the publishing output, right? The University of California. And, you know, and then like, but they are supposed to subscribe, and the whole like costs and paying to have your research shared, I do think there is something strange in the current times we live.
Well, but see, you're basically saying you don't like either system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't like the system of the libraries pay the journal, which is effectively the incumbent system, whether people realize it or not.
Mm.
And you also don't like the system of the author pays the journal. But somebody has to pay for the journals. Now, it's not necessarily the case that somebody has to pay for Elsevier's 30% profit margins. And it's not necessarily the case that somebody has to pay for the kickbacks that journals give to disciplinary societies for the licensing rights.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can imagine that those rents could be eliminated by having journals operate on a break-even nonprofit basis, mm-hmm. which sociological science does. But, you know, ultimately, journals do have expenses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and $500 is about the bare minimum that you can imagine for per article. It's about the bare minimum that you can imagine for a minimally professional journal.
Gabe, you said something that was really interesting and touches on something that prevents me from turning around journals faster, is this idea that we don't have an obligation to give detailed feedback. Because I'll tell you, the number one problem that I have with reviews, the things that slows me down, is when I'm looking at a 40-page monstrosity, and I feel like I have to mine a paper with very few redeeming qualities.
Yeah.
And just sort of mine for the nugget of gold in a sea of a paper that I generally don't like. And it does slow me down.
Yeah.
In part because I'm like, oh, crap, I have to read that thing a second time. And it's like a 3-hour job.
Mm-hmm.
And you're, you know, to go through it and whatever. And you're saying that maybe it's we should be assuming more of a judgment role rather than an advisor and sort of editor role?
Well, I think that's the model of sociological science, and I believe it's the model of Socius. So I've never participated in Socius's review process on either end, but I'm pretty sure that they have basically the same model as social science. But yeah, we give up or down review, and we do give conditional accepts. You know, but conditional accepts by their nature are less onerous than R&Rs.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are some authors who prefer, you know, developmental review. And, you know, it's definitely possible to come up with examples of papers that improved in developmental review. Some, you know, and I can think of cases where the developmental review process I went through was basically a waste of time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, required me to just write a long response memo and not make that many changes in the paper. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and those changes I made probably made the paper worse. So in that case, developmental review process was complete deadweight loss. And I can also think of other papers where the review process improved the paper. Mm-hmm. So, you know, now ideally I would have run the paper by colleagues and they would have given me that feedback because I think it's a lot easier to take advice from colleagues than it is like openly when it's not blinded, mm-hmm. than it is when you basically are writing long letters to each other with a 3-month delay, mm-hmm. Because you can't ask clarifying questions.
Yeah.
You know, whereas if I'm in your office and I give you advice, you can ask, you're like, wait, what do you mean by that? And then I can explain it to you. Or I can even say, oh, wait, that was misconceived. Whereas if I write it in a peer review, you can't ask a clarifying question.
Yeah.
And, you know, the advice is both nitpicky and vague that you get in peer reviews, which is what makes writing response memos so maddening. So, but, you know, some people, I think sociologists vary in the extent to which they want developmental review. And I can tell you from having read the feedback to social science that a lot of people miss it when it's not there. And I don't think they I don't think it's that they miss it when they get accepted. Yeah. I think it's more that when they get rejected, everyone turns into a grade grubber. Mm-hmm. It's not that you actually care why you got a B.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's that I'm going to demand an emotional tax on you, that I'm going to force you to justify why you gave me a B because I'm mad you gave me a B. You know, so it feels worse to get a short reject than to get a long reject, because the long reject, you're like, well, at least they thought about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The short reject, you know, you feel like, oh, they didn't even read it. And they, you know, they're just publishing their friends and they saw that I'm not from fancy pants you. And so they didn't accept it. Anyway, that seems to be kind of the reaction it gets.
I think there's definitely something to that. Like when my final exams, you know, are early and I, you know, process their grades quickly and release the marks through the central system right away versus wait till the end of the exam period and release them, I find that I get so many more complaints just because they got this quick, you know, what I think is just because of the quick response.
Yeah.
They have a window.
I'll say one like really quick thing from that Nature article. They pointed out that like impact by, you know, looking at journals by impact factor, they did all these different analyses of the different ways you can think about peer review time. And they found that journals with the lowest and the highest impact factors, this is in the sciences, that they had the longest waiting times. So it's, you know, it's not necessarily like a high impact factor thing or a low one. It's
interesting. You've been listening to The Annex, an academic sociology podcast. You can visit our show site at sociocast.org/annex. We are on Twitter at @SociAnnex and on Facebook, The Annex Sociology Podcast. Our producer is Liseth Moreno. Music by Lena Orsa. I'm Joseph Cohen. Thank you for listening.